Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. All right, how many got your Bible tonight? All right, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Father, I thank you for this night. God, I thank you for your presence in this house. God, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word, rightly divide the word of truth. And God, I ask that your anointing would rest. The word's already anointed, but God, rest on my lips that I'll deliver it in a way that would be pleasing to you, and that your presence and your power and your spirit would change hearts and lives and set people free in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 10, says this, And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Strong, firm, and steadfast. How many believe that God can restore? But there's no need for restoration if you haven't been through something that's kind of jacked you up a little bit. See, all of us have issues in our life. All of us, even pastors, even Sunday school teachers, even people down the street at first, second, third, fourth church, all of us, everybody say all. None of us are perfect. Every one of us have jacked up issues in our lives. It's just some of us hide it a little better. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But after you've suffered a little while, after you've been through something, he will restore you. But there's no need for restoration unless you have been through the fire. All right, let's flip over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We read these last week in part one of this series, but I wanted to give these back to us again because it's really, really, really going to set the stage for where we're going to be tonight and refocus our minds on the direction God has for us tonight. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 5. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, Jesus, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers. Think about if this sounds like some of the prayers you've prayed, okay? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God prayed a prayer like this. During his life, he prayed or offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Anybody ever had a loud prayer? I'm talking, matter of fact, it wasn't even a prayer. You just like, oh God, I need you right now to show up. And with that came tears. Then you know that you really got into a place where you're broken before the Father. So Jesus did, so it's okay for us to offer up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. And he did so to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Everybody say submission. You might want to underline that word in your Bible. He was heard because of his reverent submission, not because of his disobedience, negative attitude, and I'm just going to do it my way anyway, God. Yeah, it's going to be one of those kind of nights. Okay, verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. So how did he learn obedience? He learned it through what he went through. He learned it through what he suffered. When you talk about pain, when you talk about pressure, and you talk about suffering, which, by the way, the message title tonight, the series that we're in, is Pressed for Purpose. Everybody say pressed for purpose. What you're going through, whatever dark cloud or whatever you're having to walk through right now that you're really depending on God, or maybe you haven't gotten to the place where you're really depending on him, but you know you need help. When you get to that place, you just remember that you're being pressed for purpose. There's a purpose behind what you're going through. And it's important that when we talk about subjects like pain, pressure, and suffering, it's important that we really lean in on what the Bible says about it, because it's important that we understand just what God is doing in the middle of the pressure. What is God doing in the middle of the pain? Now, notice I didn't say what is God, why is he sending the pressure, and why is God, because that's not the case, and we're going to talk about that. But what is God doing, and why is he allowing us to go through the experience that we're going through? Just poll in the room. How many is going through something and experience? It could be big. It could be massive. It could be small. You're going through something. Maybe you're not lifting your hands right now, and that, hey, that, praise God. We applaud you for having it all together, but next week may be a new week. But when you're getting ready to experience those things, it's important that you understand that there is a purpose behind the pressure. Oh, my God, I wish you would just let up a little bit. Just know that there is a purpose behind that pressure. There's a purpose behind the tears. There's a purpose behind the agony. There's a purpose behind the pressure. Many will preach and try to convince you that God is sending it or causing it, as if God takes pleasure in your hurt or in your pain. Have you ever heard that, a pastor? Well, God just, he's paying me back for my disobedience. We'll talk about that on part three, the final conclusion, but that's not how God operates. He utilizes the pain that he has allowed. He didn't send it, didn't cause it, but he utilizes it for your benefit. Everybody say, for my benefit. Listen, people who preach that, let me just be honest with you. People who say God sent it, no, that's not even biblical. Matter of fact, that's jacked up theology. It's not even scriptural. Listen, God didn't send it, but he will utilize it. There's a reason you're being pressed right now. There is a reason behind your pain, and there is purpose behind what you're going through. I learned a long time ago that what God is doing in you is far greater than everything that the enemy is doing to you. All that you're experiencing on the outside that hurts our flesh, what God is really doing inside of you, but again, our focus is always the exterior. The Bible says that man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart, because that's what God's trying to deal with and trying to change. So what's most important, even though we focus on, oh my God, if I don't get through this right here, I may not make it. Oh, you're going to make it, because God's with you as long as you're submitted to him. I hope I'm talking to somebody tonight. But he's running after you. He's got a reckless love. He's coming for you. And he'll never, never, never leave you. I'm just here to tell you, he'll never leave you. Yeah, but God, do you have to use the pain? We talked about that last week. We talked about that last week, how I would be number one to, God, can you relieve me from this? I will avoid pain. There are times that I've avoided pain, but it's prolonged my season in that area. God never wanted me to go through it for as long as I did, but because I refused and stopped the process because I didn't want to experience the pain, basically I got outside of what God was trying to do. So he left me there until I got submitted to him. See, God will leave you where you are until you say, okay, God, I give. Uncle. Y'all remember that game? Uncle. My dad's brothers would tickle me, hold me down, and they'd say, what do you say? I'd be like, uncle. No, you'd have to scream it till the angels in heaven could hear you before they would let go. But the pain that we're trying to avoid is actually growing pains. That's why they call it. So really what you're going through right now, or maybe what you will go through, it's not a storm. We like to categorize and say, well, I'm going through a storm. No, you're not. You're going through a growing pain. See, because when you become submitted to him and you start saying, God, stretch me for more, that stretching hurts. If that bracelet could talk tonight, I'm sure it's going, okay, they get it, let up. That's how we get sometimes with God. Okay, I get it, let up. But it's called growing pains. It wasn't a storm, it was growing pains. God is trying to mature us so that we are not moved by the storm. When the storms come, all your leaves may blow off. You may actually lose something. You may lose something close to you, but as long as you're firmly rooted in Christ Jesus, you'll still stand. Come on, somebody. So tonight, what I want us to do for just a few moments, won't be long. So get you something to write with, and I'm going to give you some stuff that you're going to need to remember, because for those of us that are in a storm right now, you need to write this down. Those of you who aren't in a storm, I guarantee you one's coming. Well, Brother Bradley, that just sounds like you're speaking negativity. No, I'm just declaring the word over your life that when you get submitted to him, the devil's coming for you. Well, I'm just going to live for me then, because I don't want the devil messing with me. I just like easy life. It'll be easy till you get in hell, then it'll be hot, you'll be trying to get out. Oh. So tonight I want us to look at the character of God. There's a couple foundational things that I want that we need to know, and I want us to look at about God and truths that we must remember and declare when we're going through the storm. When we're going through those difficult situations, this is what you're going to have to declare out your mouth. Number one, are you ready? God is good. Well, Bradley, we know that. Well, it's easy to say God is good when everything looks good in the checking account. Oh, yeah, I'm blessed and favored and highly favored, and everything's great. God is good, God is good, God is good. No, when you really know where you are spiritually is when you can say God is good in the midst of your jacked upness. Okay? When you can say God is good through that, then your roots have actually sunk down a little deeper, because as the storms come and your roots go down, guess what? You're going to stand strong. Amen? So the first one is God is good. Even though things aren't going good, that doesn't necessarily mean, a matter of fact, it does not mean that God just fell off the rocker and he's no longer good. God is good. It reminds me of way back in the day, back in Alabama, when I first started in ministry, I would be invited to a little rural church out in the boondocks in Alabama, and I'd be the only white boy up in there. You guessed it, I was at a brother church, and they would wear me slap out in singing. And I would never forget, the little old lady would stand up and she'd go, I just want to testify before God today that God is good. And the whole church, this was like 10, 15 years ago. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, she did not stand up and go, God is good most of the time. She didn't say that. No. She said, God is good all the time. But here's the problem with all the time. All the time encompasses everything, and it includes when my prayers don't get answered. Mic check, 1, 2. All the time includes moments when my marriage isn't necessarily on the rocks, baby. It's under the rocks. That's all the time. God is still good. All the time is when healing isn't in my body isn't happening to the time schedule that I think it should. Hello, God, why am I still sick? I've been praying, I've been fasting, how come I can't get the healing? All the time, God is still good. But how many, see, again, we talk about this, how Christians, when the storms hit, they split. When the storms hit and marriages get on the rocks or under the rocks, you don't see people in church anymore. And that's why I wanted to stop the press and go, when you're going through stuff, this is not the place you need to run from. I don't see nobody when they got arms, they leave a wreck and they're all, you know, jack bloody stuff, and they're on the back of an ambulance, and they pull up to the hospital, and they look up and they see out the back window, and they notice where they are, and they go, no, you gotta go somewhere else. I can't be here. Now, how crazy would that be? But that happens every week in ministry or in churches all around the world, where people show up and they have a fight or an argument with their spouse in the parking lot, and they go, we can't go in there today. No, you need to come on in here. You need to just let go of yourself and lose your right to have a right. I think Jensen put it this way. Sometimes it's better to somebody's been watching his stuff. Would you rather reconcile or be right? Sometimes it's better just to reconcile. Sometimes when you're out in the parking lot and your kids start acting crazy and sister so-and-so saw you just smack your little Mikey in the back of the head. I don't think we have a little Mikey, so I'm doing okay. Smack Mikey in the back of the head and you look. Do we have a Mikey in the house? Well, he's Big Mike. That don't work. Just don't hit him. But somebody else sees you beat your kid and you catch eyes and you're like, well, we can't go now. They just saw me beat my kid. No, you beat little Johnny and you come on into church. If you get on little Johnny's backside, we wouldn't have to put little Johnny in a corner in the other room and the church said hello. Yeah. Okay, Sarah, you're welcome. She walked in. I don't know why. I guess I was just feeling that through the spirit right there. I don't know. But God is good all the time. All the time. I'm talking about, listen, I'm talking all the time. God is good all the time is when my bank account and my checking account, savings account, all look hilarious. That's when God is good all the time. When you can say that, when you're trying to, you know, transfer and transfer and transfer and write checks all around town, then you can and still believe that God is good. Yeah. No, we want to say, well, God, rain it down to heaven, and then I'll declare you're good. There's no money up there. It's all down here. It's all down here. Just because you don't feel like he's good doesn't mean he's not good. Have I made my point? God is good all the time. See, the church just ran by that, but then because we didn't really teach what that's about, that's why people, when bad times hit, they split. What I'm trying to get the message out is, when you're going through something in life, you just come on in here, and there's no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone. Amen? If y'all start passing judgment, I'm going to have to drop the mic. It'd be the weirdest preacher mic drop you ever seen. If y'all start passing judgment, I don't measure up. Boom, it'd be on. What happened to him? Well, he must have been jacked up that day. Yes. So God is good. Oh, yeah. And God is also in control. Just because things in your world are out of control, that doesn't mean that God's not in control. That means you're in control, and you refuse to give up the reins. Sometimes you got to pull off track and park it just for a minute and say, okay, God, you want to drive for a little bit? You know, when you go on long trips with your spouse, Amy always wants to ask, can she help drive when we're in the last 30 minutes of the trip? No, baby, I'm good now. No, that's not true. I really have to drive because I'll get car sick, But sometimes you just need to pull off the road of life and go, okay, God, I'm going to let you drive for a little bit. Because how many knows he can do a better job than I can? Amen? Everybody say, pressed for purpose. It's been through my own painful experiences that I can say, whether I have it all or I lose everything, that God is good. Whether you have it all or you lose everything, God is still in control and he's still good. When the church can say that, when the church can say, hey, my bank account looks hilarious, my savings account, what in the world is that? When all hell is coming against you and you can still stand and say, I'm not moving, I'm staying right here because I know that God is good and he's going to work it all out for my good. We don't give him a chance to work it out, but crazy stuff hits, we split, and God's going, I had a blessing right there, and now you lost your opportunity. Until you come back. Until you come back. Amen? Number two, what do we say when we're in the midst? Again, this is not when everything's going good. This is when all hell's coming against you and you're in the ditch. This is what you say. God is just. God is just. We don't always talk about that. We know him as the righteous judge that we'll all be judged for what we do. That's true, but he's also just. That's why when tragedy strikes, we ask, why me, God? Why not them? Amy and I have done that. God, we left Georgia. We came down here, and them fools over there living for themselves, living in sin. How come there's grace? How come they got grace? Well, because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. That'll make you think. Because we're so quick to judge people. Well, how come we're trying to do it the right way, and they just seem like they're blessed and there's so much grace. Because where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. Even though I know that verse, now that I'm applying it to my life and how I've, I don't want to say judge, but how I'm comparing my life to others, now I see. Let's read that real quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It says where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. But this is the amplified version. I like this. But where sin increased, God's remarkable, gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, undeserved, has surpassed it and increased it all the more. Go back one more time. But where sin increased, we've all done it. We know, you can think of somebody right now who once was in church. Now they're living for themselves full of all kinds of junk, okay? This is just being honest, right? And I'm going, but why they seem so blessed? But where sin increased, it's remarkable and it's gracious. Grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased it all the more. Increased it all the more. Listen, if you were a loving father and you had a wayward child, you would give every opportunity for that child to get right. Some of you have experienced that with children. Some of you have experienced that with family members where their life's in the ditch and you would, as a parent, you would do anything to see them succeed. Because right when you say, okay, I'm done, I'm cutting you off, you've messed up for the last time, right when you look them straight in the eyes, what you remember is that moment when they were delivered, or you know, I don't mean delivered from something, I'm talking about delivery, as in wah, wah, baby. You see their eyes and you remember that moment. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Again, this should be helping the church, because we like to pass judgment. Who are you to judge? We like to pass judgment, but instead, where sin abounds, wherever there's sin, grace is going to abound that much more. Now, don't get crazy and go, well, dang, shoot, I need to go live in sin so I can just have all kinds of grace. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So let's not judge where someone else is, assuming that they deserve something worse than what we have currently. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would be the first to go, I've done that. I've done that. But again, we're trying to create a healthy church, a better church, so that people can see a difference in our lives. They're not going to come to church because they see a picture on Facebook of a worship team or an Easter event. The people are going to follow you to church when they notice there's something different in your life, when all hell's coming against you, everything's jacked up in your family, and you go to work and you go, yeah, all that stuff is happening in my life, but God is still good, and He is just. That's what's going to bring people to church. That's what's going to give you the open door to invite somebody to church, not because we put on Facebook and go, hey, you're invited, bring a friend. No, it's going to be when they see something different in you. That's why we're trying to create that atmosphere so that there can be a difference in your life. Amen? Everybody say pressed for purpose. All of us belong to God. All of us belong to God. Man, this so helped me. It's setting me free, because for some reason I felt like God needed my help in how He should deliver grace or withhold grace from people, because I thought, well, they're living in sin, so maybe, okay, just let them do their thing, God. No, He's going to give them more opportunity, just like we got. Amen? So we know that God is good, and we know that God is just, which means that anything that has happened in your life, you can't accuse God for it. Anything negative that's happening, you can't say it's God's fault. He's just. He's just. If anybody in the Bible understood this the most, it was Job. Go with me to Job chapter 1. Somebody say, B, what Bible character would you want to be in the Bible? Not Job. Not Job. Job was doing all the right things. Job was living like we're supposed to. He was sacrificing. He was taking care of his family. Job was doing all that he was supposed to do. But watch this. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, says this. On the day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. He's always somewhere where the people of God are. Let that sink in for a minute. Wherever the people of God are, the devil's there too. And Satan also came with them. Verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth. We know that verse later on in the scripture, that the enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Freeze. Job was minding his own business. Job was doing everything that the Torah or scripture, he was doing everything he was supposed to be doing. And God's going to lay him out there and go, hey, have you considered my boy? That'd be like, you know, the devil be, you know, lurking around Cole and can't get in. And then all of a sudden God says, hey, have you checked out my boy Cole? Well, he says, well, yeah, you've got a hedge of protection around him. Have you ever been just minding your own business, doing everything, you know, paying your tithe and coming to church and serving and doing all those things, and all of a sudden just the storm comes? Or you're out cutting your grass, and all of a sudden you walk in the door, and the little bald man from the Weather Channel says, you got to go, there's a hurricane coming. You're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden the storm comes. Same thing that happens to us in our spiritual lives. Let's go on down to verse 10. It says this, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has. You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch your hand and strike. This is what he's telling God. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Listen, you may have lost some things along your journey, but you're still here. You may have lost some things. You may have went maybe some tragedy or some of the hardest days, but you're still here. That's because the devil can't come in and out of our lives. He not without permission. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you're here, you have the victory. I was thinking about that song we've been singing, Build My Life. It says, I've seen this fight from the victory. Basically reminding you, you know this fight. Whatever you're going, you know this fight. And you've seen how it ends up because you're here now. You're not defeated. You're not dead. I've seen this fight from what? The victory. That means you're victorious. Don't get crazy just because everything's disoriented now. We lose our sense of direction when the storms come because we get disoriented. Don't lose your sense of direction. It's easy to lose sense of direction when you stay out there and refuse to come in here. I'm going to wind it down in just a minute, and I'm going to share some stuff that's going to blow your mind because it blew mine. I could not believe that he gave this to me. Listen, people think the enemy can just walk in and out of our life, but Scripture makes it very clear he cannot. Write this down. Because God is just, the devil has a boss. Because God is just, the devil has a boss. He can't show up in your life without permission. But listen, God will allow the attack, but it's only to produce, write this down too, the attack is only to produce glory in your life. We go from glory to glory to glory. Y'all know that song we sing. So the attack is to produce glory. To refuse to go through the pain is discrediting your life from being changed from glory to glory. This is more of a teaching. This is more of a teaching night. This isn't normal to me, but I hope you're leaning in and getting this. Listen, this is what he showed me. When you got saved, you became covered by his blood. We all know that. When you became born again, you became covered. Yeah, but why does the devil have to mess with me so much? Listen, the devil is a predator. This is what's, if it don't hit you, it hit me and flipped me out of my chair. I'm just telling you, in the spirit, not for real, but it did. The devil is a predator. Predators prey on what? The wounded. Listen, the wounded and those that have went out from the flock separately. In other words, they strayed away. Or they've decided just to step out here. I'm not saying they're in sin. They just step out here. You know that little sheep that goes out. But the song says he'll go after the 99. See? He'll leave the 99 for the one. I'm sorry. He'll go after 99. But if you get out, he's going to go after you too. Okay? That's because he also understands that when you step out, the enemy's coming for you. You are more... You're a target and you're more vulnerable when you're out there by yourself and also when you're wounded. So when you get wounded, that's when we like to slip out because we don't want to be in here. That's why I'm saying it's important to be in here when you're wounded. Okay? And we all get wounded. Don't look at wounded as a bad thing. If there wasn't a need, there would have been no cross. Okay? I'm trying to make this not hard, but understandable so that you get it. And I don't want you to ever feel like I'm beating anybody up, okay? All right, here we go. So predators prey on the wounded and also dead animals. And some would say it's the blood that draws them. Now, if you do research, and I did, if you do research that sharks, they're attracted to blood, animals are attracted to blood. So why is the enemy coming after you? Because you're covered in blood. But that's a misconception. Here it is. Studies prove that it's actually not the blood, but a molecule in the blood that attracts them to the wounded. It's not the blood. It's a molecule in the blood. So it's what's in the blood. Everybody say in the blood. So spiritually speaking, it isn't that the enemy is attracted to you at all. He's attracted to the blood. And it's not even the blood. It's what's in the blood. I was thinking the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. It was the blood. Why is it so important? It gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. This is what he's after. It's power. That's what he's after. It's what he's always been after, the power. It's not you. It's not even the blood. It's the power. Because at the cross, what did the blood represent? Defeat, conquer for the enemy. That's what he thought. It's the power. It's the molecule in the blood. I'm getting, my hair's already grown back out. I'm about to shave tomorrow. It's what's in the blood. Well, what's in the blood? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's in the blood. That's what he's attracted to. It's not a, it's not you. It's not even the blood. It's what's in the blood that he's after. I didn't get that on YouTube. I was like, God, are you sure? Okay, I'll write it down. But it blew me away. And even when as he showed it to me, I had to go do the research to make sure. I was like, I don't understand what I see what you're saying is in the blood. I don't understand whether that makes sense. Until I looked it up on YouTube. Until I looked it up on Google about predators being attracted to blood because I thought that's what it was, but it went even deeper. It's not the blood, it's what's in the blood. Blew me away. Blew me away. So when we say hashtag, it's not about me, it's not. It's not even about him. It's the power. It's the power that he's after. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. We're talking about the devil. Because he wanted the power. As the music softly plays, so I'll stop. What you need to know about the devil is he can't touch you without permission. So if God allowed it, what do you have to remember? God's in control, and he's still good, and he's just, and he's not going to leave me alone. So if I could just be on a just little me, no TBN, just a little podcast, could tell the church, when life gets crazy, instead of saying, God, why? Just know the storm couldn't show up in your life without his permission. Just let that sink in. We got it, B. Well, I don't want to get 2 weeks from now and the enemy come in your house because you've said, I want to be stretched for more, and you get stretched so far, and then all of a sudden you go pew, like a bottle rocket. I don't want to be that way, because you forgot that in the middle of the storm, God is still good. In the midst of your tears, God is still good, and he's just, and you're not alone, and he's still in control. Because there is purpose behind your pain. And what God does allow is only to produce glory in your life. Everybody's standing all over this room. I want to speak this over your life. Matter of fact, if you're taking notes, keep it right there. Don't put it up. I want you to write this down. Again, this is not for when things are going good. This is for when things get crazy. God is good? Yes, he is. God is just? All the time. And you declare this over your life. I am strong. Write that down. I am strong. Because when you go through the storm, I'll wait, that's fine. Because when you, it's important, because when you go through the storm, the first thing the enemy's going to make you feel is you're weak and you can't make it, so don't even use any strength. Just give up. I am strong. I am courageous. I'm courageous. That means nothing's going to back me down. I'm moving forward. I'm stretch me, God. I am courageous. And I am brave. I am brave. And I'm victorious. Just declare that over your life. I'm victorious. I'm strong. I'm courageous. I'm brave. I'm victorious. And the one that I don't want you to ever forget, you already know this, but now there should be so much more substance to this statement, and it's this: I am covered. I am covered by his blood. So that, remember what we talked about. If you're covered in the blood, he's coming. Not for you, not just for the blood, but for what the blood represents, because the blood has power, which makes you strong, which makes you courageous, which makes you victorious and brave, because you're covered. So when you say I'm covered, two things are happening. That's letting me know to be on the defense. I'm covered. That means he's coming, because I got something he wants. It's called power. Maybe we should go back to singing some hymns. There's nothing wrong with it. I almost wanted to break off into it again. I'm covered. I'm covered. Y'all know that verse. It reaches to the highest mountain. That's where the blood will reach for. And then when you get in the ditch, man, the blood goes from up there all the way down there to where you are, just like that. Reaches to the highest mountain, to the lowest valleys, and it will never lose. Never, 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 never lose its power. So as long as you stay covered and undercover, you got the power. Don't ever feel defeated. Okay? Father, I thank you again for your word tonight. I thank you, God, that we are.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue his purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.